We're here on Daf Hey Amud Beis, and you can count out approximately 10 lines. Omer Rav Yochanan. Negonim ubonim einam yisurim shal ava. If a person suffers physical ailments, or a person suffers with his children, then that's not to be identified as Yisurim Shel Ava. We had a whole discussion in the previous year about Yisurim Shel Ava. So the Gemara asked the Kasha, Negoim Lo, is it true that Negoim is not to be identified as Yisurim Shel Ava? Asani, we have a Braisa, Kol Misha Yeshbo, Echad Me'arboa Maros, Negoim Halolu. In other words, we have Arboa Maros, Negoim Hamitamisa Odom. We have, for example, in Negoim at the very beginning of the Masechta, Maros Negoim Shnaim, Shein Arba. There's two Ovos, and each one of the two Ovos has a Tolda. We have Baheres, we have Aza Kisheleg, and we have Shniela, which is a Tolda. It's called Kisira Hechel. We have Se'es, which is Kikruma Beitzon, Shniela Kitzemer Lovan, Sachakol. We have four Maros Negoim. Anyone who sees, the Bryce says, any of these four pathological, dermatological phenomenon is Einam Ela Mizbach Kapara. He should understand that this if he's struck with this ailment of any of these four negoim, he is basically experiencing a kapara. And if we understand kapara properly, something that wipes off any chiyuv of his avonos, that's to be identified as Isurim Shel Ava. So this is a stira to Rabbi Yochanan. And the Gemara answers, Mizbach kaporo havu, enochinami, this is a kaporo for his avonos, but Yisurim Shel Ava lo havu. Because Yisurim Shel Ava is on a higher madrega than kaporo. It's not just kaporo. It's a person who has no avon. So it's not a kaporo, he doesn't need a kaporo. But there's something called Yisurim Shel Ava, which is an entity unto itself. If you take a look in the Ein Yaakov, he doesn't understand what the Gemara was thinking in its Kasha when it said that Yisurim Machapran Alavonos, that's Yisurim Shel Ava. We already had back on Daf Heim and Alf that Yisurim Shel Ava is not something that's coming to be Machapran Alavonos. It's only a Ribui Schar. And he answers that Yisurim Shel Ava certainly is not, is the purpose is not to be Machapran Alavonos, but it is, in a certain sense, a kapar, if not for his avonos, maybe for other avonos, the avonos of the dar. And there's a ribui schar for that person through Yisurim Shel Ava, but it's also goreim a kapar leklal Yisrael. So there's no stira between mizbah kapara and Yisurim Shel Ava. But the Gemara answers that no, Yisurim Shel Ava exists even without chet, and therefore to identify an experience of negayim as mizbach kapara, that is not to be identified with Yisurim Shel Ava, because the mizbach kapara in the case of the four negayim are kapara for specific averos, and Yisurim Shel Ava is something that goes beyond averos. Ebayis Ema Gemara offers another reconciliation. Halon v'halahu, the Brisa, in which it says that Negoim is Mizbah Kapara, that's for the Bnei Bavel, which is called Lon, we here in Bavel. We don't have the Arim Sheba Mekudashos. We don't have, for example, the concept of a Mitzora who is sent Michutz La'ir, because we live in Bavel, so we don't have that concept of Shiluach Chutz La'ir, which applies to a Mitzora. So the Negoim, which are phenomena that represent Mitzora, are brought upon a person as a Mizbach Kapara. But Halahu, with regard to Rabbi Yochanan, who is one of the Bnei Eretz Yisrael, there Negoim Bonim is not Yisurim Shel Ava. The Arei Choma, which has a certain Kedusha, and the Mitzora has to be sent outside of the ear, therefore Negoim is not Yisurim Shel Ava. Rabbi Yochanan identifies Negoim within the context of the Halacha of Mitzora, and it's not to be identified with Yisurim Shel Ava. if we open up to Vayikra Perek Yud Gimel, and even later in Bamidbar Perek Hey, and this is all codified in Masechta Kelim in the first parak, we'll see that the Torah tells us that one who suffers from tzaras is expelled from the city, and that applies only to cities in Eretz Yisrael, those that are walled from the time of Yehoshua ben Nun, and it doesn't apply in Bavel. Therefore, if a mitzora is not sent out of the city in Bavel, his embarrassment and all the suffering as a result of these pathological phenomena of Negoim is a minor suffering, because he's not completely excommunicated from the city, and it could be considered as Yisurim Shalava in Eretz Yisrael. When he suffers galus and he has to go out of the city, his shame, his embarrassment is so intense, you cannot consider that tzaras as a Yisurim Shalava. And now we get to the third answer of the Gemara. And the Gemara says, Ibai Seimo HaBetzina HaBefarhesya, the Braisa that tells us that Negoim is a Mizbeach Kapara, Mizbeach Kapara, that's a low-ebb kind of suffering, that could be considered perhaps Yisurim Shalava, but HaBefarhesya, Rabbi Yochanan is talking about a person who suffers this shame publicly in the Negoim that are so apparent that everyone sees it, that level of suffering of intensity could not be identified as Yisurim Shel Ava. The Gemara now asks the following question: Ubanim Lo? We saw that Rabbi Yochanan refuses to identify the suffering of Banim as Yisurim Shel Ava. So the Gemara analyzes this. Hechi Domi, what is exactly the scenario? As we say in Hebrew, Al Ma Midubar. If we're going to be talking about a case of the Havulehu Mesu, that he had children and he died, Homer Rabbi Yochanan himself seems to indicate that the suffering, the terrible anguish of the loss of a child, is something that he himself experienced. And Rabbi Yochanan, when he would go around to be Menachem Avelim Nebuch, he would say, Dein Garma Da Sirah Birya. He would show a tooth of his tenth son. Again, there's a long halachic discussion here about how he was allowed to take a part of the dead body. But he lost, Rabbi Yochanan, no less than 10 children. He had a very tragic life. He would take it with him and wrap it up in a sudar, in some sort of a cloth, and he would show it to the Avelim. So since Rabbi Yochanan was such an Adam Gadol, who certainly HaKadosh Baruch would not bring upon him any Yisurim except Yisurim Shel Ava, it must be that Mises HaBonim is Yisurim Shel Ava. How do you justify the fact that Rabbi Yochanan here in this last statement refuses to identify the loss of children and that suffering as Yisurim Shel Ava, when he himself experienced this tragic life and loss of children? It must be Yisurim Shel Ava, Ella. But rather, with regard to these two categories of Yisurim, Be'inyan Bonin, there are two different categories. Ha, to lo havile klal v'hod havile umesu. There's a person who wasn't zochet to have children at all, and regarding to him, Rabbi Yochanan says that bonim is not called yisurim shalava, meaning the absence of children. But hod havile umesu, but if a person had children and they died, like Rabbi Yochanan himself, that's called yisurim shalava. The Gemara now brings stories of the Amoraim who had Yisurim and suffered tremendously. Rabbi Chiya bar Abba Cholash, he became very weak. Ol gabei Rabbi Yochanan, Rabbi Yochanan comes to visit him. And b'mekayim b'mitzvah b'ikur cholim, Amar lei, Rabbi Yochanan says to Rabbi Chiya, Chavivin alecha Yisurim? Do you have a positive attitude towards Yisurim? Amole, Rav Chiya responds to Rav Yochanan, Lo hein v'lo scharon. I'm not interested in Yisurim. And even though I will receive their schar in the future because I will be rewarded by accepting Yisurim, I'd rather not have Yisurim at all. Amol le, so Rabbi Yochanan said him, Cain, if that be the case, havli yodach, give me your hand. Yoiv le yodi, gave him his hand. The okme, Rabbi Yochanan was able to heal Rabbi Chia, and Rabbi Chia walked on 2 feet. It was nisrapi micholio, because Rabbi Yochanan realized that Rabbi Chia didn't want to be sick, and therefore he was the facilitator of bringing him back to health.
Just to add, in the previous story about Rabbi Yochanan being Menachem Avelim with the tooth of his son, some say the tooth is not considered like a bone, and therefore it's not makabel tuma, so there's no iser in taking it around. According to others, perhaps it was a bone, but it was smaller than a shear of kisaora, maybe of a barley grain, therefore it's not makabel tuma. In any event, continuing in the Gemara, Rabbi Yochanan Cholash, Rabbi Yochanan in this case got weak. Ol gabei Rabbi Chanina, Omolei Rabbi Chanina. Rabbi Chanina turns to Rabbi Yochanan. He says, "Chavino lech yisurin. Are you happy to have these yisurin?" Omolei Rabbi Yochanan, in a sense, imitates Rabbi Chia in the previous story. Lo hein velo scharan. I'm not interested in yisurim. Omolei havli yodach. Rabbi Chanina gives his hand to Rabbi Yochanan. Yoiv le yodei. Rabbi Yochanan grabs onto Rabbi Chanina's hand, the ukme, and he's able to get up from his disease. The Gemara says, Amai. Why did Rabbi Yochanan have to grab onto Rabbi Chanina's hands? Lokim Rabbi Yochanan nafshi. Couldn't Rabbi Yochanan cause himself to be healthy, because he himself was able to make Rabbi Chia bar Abba healthy in the previous story? Amri, the Gemara answers, Ein chovish mater atzma beis asurin. This is a simile, a mashal, that when a person is incarcerated in a jail, he cannot free himself from the jail. He needs other people to help himself, to help him get out of jail. So too, a chole cannot serve to be merapi himself, but rather he needs others to stand him up on his feet. And the reason for this is because when a person is suffering midas hadin, his tefillah is not so meaningful. He needs others to be vakish rachamim on his behalf. Now Rashi, in his Perush al HaTorah, Vayishma Elokim es kol hanar basher husham, in Bereishis Chaf Aleph, seems to indicate the opposite is true. Yofa tefillas hachol al atzmo mitefillas hacherim olav. And therefore, the tefillah of the chol himself is the most effective to bring him into a state of health. So the Ra'im of the Mizrahi says that these Amoroim that we're learning about were so ill, up to the point that they couldn't be mechavin in that tefillah. They didn't have the ability, the strength, the energy to focus on that tefillah. They needed others to be mispal for them. But when a chole can be mechavin daito, his tefillah is even greater for himself than others who pray on his behalf. Others say, the Gur Aryeh, that with regard to tefillah, we don't apply the principle of ein chovish mater atzim beis asurin. The mispal is not being mater atzma, it's HaKadosh Baruch Hu who is taking him out of Yisurim by receiving, when he receives their prayers. But in these stories that we're learning about, the Amoroim were not making zed zed al yidei tefillah, but rather they told the chole that he should strengthen himself, and then he will be able to be mispalel and be and bring himself into a healed state. They will get Ezer from Elokim, from God, and they'll be Misrapi. And here, we're going to apply the principle of Ein Chovish Mater Atzmei Sassurim. A person cannot be Mechazik himself. He needs others to be Mechazik him. And now the Gemara goes on to tell another story. In this case, Rabbi Eliezer Cholash, Ola Gabei, Rabbi Yochanan. Rabbi Yochanan came to be Mevaker. Rabbi Lozar Chaza, he saw Da'avi Kogane Bebeis Ofel, that he lived in a very dark house. Galye Lidorae V'Nefal Nahora. Rabbi Yochanan exposed the Zroah of his arm,
and as a result, he brought light into the house. In other words, by exposing his arm, there was a certain metaphysical power in his arm to bring light, if you take this literally. And now it's as if he had turned on the lights. As a result, Chazia, he saw Rabbi Yochanan Daviko Bochi Rabbi Lazar, realized that Rabbi Lazar was crying. Now, it's very interesting that Rabbi Yochanan was able to bring light into the room by exposing his arm. And this seems to be indicated by a Gemara Bava Metzia Pei Dalid, where the Gemara tells us, with regard to Kirin Ar Panav Shel Rabbi Yochanan, Rabbi Yochanan's face radiated a certain light. And if that be the case, why did he have to expose his arm? So the Ben Yoyada says that even Margalis the Evan Tova is Zacha Miot Eino Yotzi Menu Or Elokasher He Nimtzeis B'Makom Sheyesh Bo Or Hazoreach Olav. So certain objects that need light in order for the light to bounce off them, and then these objects are able to produce light. So how is it possible, he asks, that the arm of Rav Yochanan would able to light up a dark house? And based on this, he comes to the conclusion that the aura here that we're talking about is a spiritual light. It's not a physical light. Because for a physical light, like a pearl to light up, you need some light bouncing off it. So there are two approaches here as to how Rav Yochanan was able to bring light. In any event, Omar Le, Rav Yochanan turns to Rav Elias and says, Amaiko Bochus, what are you crying about? Imishum Torah ka delo afesht. In other words, if you assume that you didn't learn enough Torah as you would have wanted to learn, is Shanina, we learned in Masechta Menachos with regard to Karbonos, Echra Marba v'Echra Mamit u'Bilvad she'echavin libo l'shamayim. A person has to have the right kavana. Let's say, for example, in a case of a behema that's brought as a karbon ola, so an asher can bring a behema, he has the money to do so. An ani only brings a solus l'mincha, which is a much less expensive karbon, and yet both are endeared in by HaKadosh Baruch Hu, as long as there's a kavana l'shem shamayim. So your kavana was l'shem shamayim. If you couldn't learn as much as you wanted, you won't. HaKadosh Baruch Hu is going to consider that the amount that you learned is as if you had learned more. Imishum mizone, if you're crying about your poverty, is you shouldn't be upset about that. Lo kol adam zocha l'shtei shulchanos. Very few people are zocha that they can have both Torah and wealth. Ve'imishum b'nei, and if you're crying about the children that you lost, dein garma de asira bir. Here's the tooth or the bone of my 10th son that I buried. Now, why would Rabbi Yochanan say to Rabbi Eliezer that there are three in Yonim, this Torah, Mizonos, Ubonim, and that you shouldn't be crying about any of them? And why does Rabbi Yochanan come to be Menachem Rabbi Eliezer and say, I buried 10 children and I suffered basically all these kinds of sufferings? Now, it seems like when you tell another person that you suffered as well, that alleviates his suffering. And this is a deep psychological principle. Omar Le, Rabbi Elazar says to Rabbi Yochanan, on none of the above am I crying. What am I crying about? Lahai Shufra, for this beauty, meaning the beauty of Rabbi Yochanan, Divale the Afra Kobachina, that will be buried under the Afar. Now, what this means, we'll try to figure out as we go along. But the simple pshat is that the physical body, which is beautiful, will be buried and it will turn to dust. We don't know exactly why that would have brought a tear to the eye of Rabbi Elazar. Amalei, Rabbi Yochanan says in response to Rabbi Lazar, Al da vade kabachis. You're right, it is fitting to cry for sure about this kind of a thing, the physical beauty that's going to end up in Afar. Ubachu chavayu, and as a result, both Rabbi Yochanan and Rabbi Lazar started crying simultaneously. Now the story doesn't end here, but let's just take a moment's break. Why is there such crying here over physical beauty that goes down to the dust? The Marsha explains that the reason for the Bechi here is because they're remembering the Churban of Yerushalayim. And Rabbi Yochanan Bab Metzia made the statement, Ani Ishtayre Mishifre Mishapire Yerushalayim, meaning I'm one of the vestiges of the families of those beautiful people that were in Yerushalayim. Even though he himself, Rabbi Yochanan, lived many years after the Churban Yerushalayim. But it means that as long as Rabbi Yochanan is alive, there's some sort of a memory of the beauty of Yerushalayim. He's one of the last descendants, the last of the Mohicans. And with his death, the entire memory that connects us to the beauty of Yerushalayim would go down into the Afar. And that's what they were crying about, the beauty of the men of Yerushalayim that was gone, or would be gone with the death of Rabbi Yochanan. Adahachi v'achi, in the meantime, Amar Leh, Rabbi Yochanan says to Rabbi Lazar, Chaviven alecha yisurin? Are you satisfied with suffering? In other words, with regard to the question of the beauty that will rotten the earth, I'm also willing to cry, but I want to know, are you crying as a result of the fact that afflictions are something that you want to have or you don't want to have? And we can already anticipate the answer. Amar Leh, Rabbi Lazar says to Rabbi Yochanan, Hein velo scharan. I don't want Yisurim, I don't want the schar that you get for Yisurim. Amar Leh, Havli Yadach Yoiv Leh Yadei V'Okmei. So once again, Rabbi Yochanan was able to heal, in this case, Rabbi Lazar, and he got up and he stood up. Now, if Yisurim is such a great thing, Yisurim Shalava, why do all these great Tanoim reject it, or the Amoraim? And I think the answer is that, on the one hand, Yisurim Shalava is a great thing, and it brings a great reward, it might have an impact on the Dar, but nevertheless, in terms of one's own personal Shtaging, whether it's his Tefillah, whether it's his Torah, as a result of the Yisurim, it's so great, it's so interfering, that he's going to sacrifice so much. The Gemara now tells a story of an Amora who had Yisurim with regard to finances. Rav Huna Tkifale Arba Me'a Dani Dechamre. He had 400 barrels of wine, and they all turned sour. Ol Legabe Rabbi Yehuda Chua De Rabbi Salach Hasida. So we're talking about Rabbi Yehuda, who's the brother of Rav Salah. The Rabbanan and other members of the yeshiva movement came via Amrile, and they said to him, Rav Ado Bar Ava Rabbanan, via Amrile li ayin mar b'mile. They came to Rav Ado and they told him, Rav Ado came and told him that he should stop being mefashbeis, he started looking in and scrutinizing his actions to find out what was the sin that caused this onus. We have a principle called midah keneged midah. There must have been a corresponding sin. Amar lahu, Rav Huna responded, mi chashida beinaychu? Are you suspecting me that I sin? Amar leh, mi chashid kudish baruch hu di'ovid dina b'lo dina? Are you suspecting a kudish baruch hu that he brought punishment against the person who didn't sin? Amar lahu, so Rav Huna said, ii kaman deshmi alai milsa lema. If one of you have heard something about me that I did a sin, please reveal it to me. Amru leh, so they revealed to him, hachi shmiel, and this is what we heard about you, deloyoyev mar shavisha li arse. That your sharecropper was denied Zmoros HaGefen. Now, these Zmoros HaGefen have some value to them. And the sharecropper has a right to claim that he should be paid with these branches, with these zmoros. Now, according to the laws of Arisus, if a person works in the sadeh and he's being paid a portion of the crop, let's say he gets revia, he gets a quarter or a shlish, or he gets mechza, so the owner of the field gets the remainder, the balance. And in the case of a vineyard, he shares the wine that's produced by the vines, by the grapes, with the aris. Now the branches that are pruned from these kerem is also to be divided. So perhaps you didn't pay the aris, what was coming to him, these branches, these moros of Geffen, of Megillo Fichelko. Amar Lahus Rav Huna said, Mika Shavak Li Midi Mine, Vechi Moser Huli Mashu Mihem, which means that Rav Huna turned to the rabbis and he said, did he leave me any of them? You should know, Hakagadiv Lahu Kule, this sharecropper stole all the branches. He took not only that which was coming to him, but more than his rightful share, he took that which was coming to me, and he left me high and dry. Why don't you suspect him of stealing? Why do you suspect me of stealing? In other words, Rav Huna knew that this aris took more than his than what was coming to him within the context of the contractual agreement of the arisus. And as a result, since he was taking more than what was coming to him, Rav Huna felt that he wasn't compelled to share any of the branches with this aris, this sharecropper. And the Gemara now says, Hacha Ganavle Kule, that Rav Huna is accusing the sharecropper of stealing much more. So he took that which he doesn't get, he's not appropriately his, Lefi Chelko. So therefore, do I have to give him the branches? Amrule, they had an idiomatic phrase which they applied to this particular scenario. How many of you interested is what people usually say? Basar ganva ganov v'tayim v'tayim. If somebody steals from a ganov and he tastes it, he also tastes a little bit of gneva. In other words, even though it's true that he stole from you, that doesn't justify the fact that you denied him that which is coming to Lefi Chelko, you also have tasted the taste of sin. Omaluhus Rav Huna says, Kabilin alai di yoivle. I accept on myself to give him Lefi Chelko, I'm going to give him his branches. And from that moment on, when he, Rav Huna, accepted upon himself such a commitment, is he no longer had to have Seid Mamon from the Yayin, from the wine that it spoiled, that it soured. And what exactly happened as a result is Machlok has two versions. Ika de Amri, those who say Hodor Chalav Avichamra, that miraculously the vinegar turned back into wine as it originally was. Ika de Amri, others say Iyakar Chala, the market value of vinegar went up. Vizdavin Bidmei Chamra, and Rav Huna was able to sell the vinegar, the sour wine, at the price of wine. And this was a great miracle from Shamayim, because Rav Huna had accepted upon himself to give back the zmoros to the oris. This whole story, this episode of Rav Huna, seems to be contradicted by a Gemara Bava Kamach of Zion, which is called Ovid Inish Dina Lenafshe, that if a person is stealing from you, you're allowed to take the law into your own hands and get the object back. But it seems from the Ramban Shulchan Aruch, at the very beginning of Shulchan Aruch Hoshim Mishpat, that Ovid Yiddish Dina Lenafshe means you're allowed to take back that object which the thief is taking from you. You don't have to go through the courts for that. But to take another object, for example, to withhold from this sharecropper his share of the crops and his rights to take the branches, that doesn't come under the halacha of Ovid Yiddish Dina Lenafshe. Now, in the case of Rav Huna, We have a simple or clear, evident application of the principle of Midah Keneged Midah. In other words, he held back the vine branches from his Aris, and he was deprived of the product of wine, of the vine, which is 400 barrels of wine. Tanya, we learned in a Braisa, Abba bin Yomin Omer, Al Shnei Dvarim Ayisi Mitztar Kol Yomai, two things made me sad my whole life, Al Tfilasi Shetei Lifnei Mitasi, I tried very hard to accomplish this goal, that my prayer would be recited before my bed. That's the literal translation, the Gemara is going to explain it as we go along. And the second thing, I was Mitztar Mitasi Shetei Nesuna Bein Sofon Lidorom, that my bed should always be situated from north to south. That's how you place your bed. And this has to do with the Sugya Bava Basra about the Shekhinah, which is present either to the east or the west. And therefore, when you're sleeping and you're going to have a Dover Tsanua, meaning you have relations with your wife, we don't want to point to these directions of east or west where the Shekhinah is. The Shekhinah rises in the east and settles down in the west. Therefore, Abba bin Yamin would extend all sorts of efforts to make sure that his bed would lie along the north-south line. Al tfilasi shetei lifnei mitasi, what does he mean? My lifnei mitasi, what does he mean in front of his bed? That his prayers should be recited in front of his bed, before his bed. Elam, if we assume lifnei mitaso mamish, that he would stand in front of his bed to be mispalel, that doesn't make sense. For Omar Rav Yudah Marav, for Itam Rav Yishuma, Levi Minayin, Lemispal Shalei, Dover Chotzeis, Beino Levein Akir, Shenemar, Vayasev Chizkiyo Panov, El Hakir, Vayispalel. So the premise of the Gemara's Kasha is that if you mispalel lifnei mitaso, then the mita is a chatzitza that wedges and separates between him and the kir. And this statement in the name of Rav establishes, or some say it's Rabbi Yeshua ben Levi, based on a pasuk in Yeshaya Novi, with regard to Chizkiyahu HaMelech, that there should be no chatzitza between the person and the wall. Why then would Abba bin Yamin be mispalel at the foot of his bed, which would mean that the bed is now separating him from the wall? So the Gemara explains, Lo Tema, don't think that when Abba Shol said Al Tfilasi, which has to be Lifnei Mitasi, and he took pains to do so, but rather change the text a little bit, Ela Ema, Al Tfilasi Shetei Samach Limitasi. We have Lifnei Mitasi, but it really should be corrected to Samach Limitasi. And if it's Samach Limitasi, it means that he was careful that he would not do any malacha, and he wouldn't be Osek B'Torah from the time that he stood Mimitaso Achakar Kriyashma Vispalel. Meaning from the moment he woke up in the morning, the first thing on his agenda would be Shema and Shmonesre. He would not perform any sort of distracting work. He would not even study Torah. That's the way Rashi interprets this sugya of Samuch Limitasi. Now, Rabbi Yonah writes that this statement only refers to Shachris. However, with regard to other tefillos, like for example Arvis, this was not his minog to be mispal samach l'shena. However, the Aruch interprets this statement of Rabbi Abba bin Yamin as referring even to tefillas Arvis, and maybe even exclusively to tefillas Arvis. And he says that when Abba bin Yamin would complete all his tasks of the day before he davened, then his lev was no longer tarred b'tfila, and immediately he was able
to focus on his tefillah. He says also that he was makdim his tefillah to his shena, and loya nach kima kodim tefillah. Notice he would make sure that he wouldn't rest before his tefillah, because then he may fall asleep in a deep sleep and he won't daven. And furthermore, he wanted his makom tefillah to be samach to makom itaso, so that the aniyim would come after the suda, agav his tefillah, and he would be able to give tzedakah. In any event, we interpreted this Gemara according to Rashi, Dibri Maskel Samuch, Tosus Dibri Maskel Ella, which you'll see is almost the last Tosus on the page. He's not happy with Rashi's pshat. How do we know that it's also even to learn Torah before tefillah? And therefore, he says that he wasn't makbid on anything, Abba Bin Yomin, except for Asiyas Malacha Konim Tefillah. The Pnei Yoshua is not happy with this Tosfos. He says, Ma makom yesh lomar bazeh shahoya Abba Bin Yomin mitztayer al tefiloso shetei smucha lehashkamoso? Hare yochel hoya limona mi Asiyas Malacha Konim Tefillah. Why does it mean that his tefillah has to be somuch lashkamoso? He just can refrain from Malacha before tefillah. According to Rashi, on the other hand, that Abba Bin Yomin was even separating himself, he was inhibited from even limud Torah kodim tefillah, then we understand that he would be noeg to daven tefillah, and probably tefillah b'tzibur, immediately after waking up, so that he would be able to study Torah for the rest, wouldn't lose any time for the study of Torah. And now, the Gemara wants to know about the next part of Abba Bin Yomin's statement, V'al mitasi shetei nesuna bein tzafon l'dorom. It was situated between the north and the south. And the Gemara now quotes a statement that would explain the schar, the reward that someone gets for being makvid to make sure that his bed is between Tzafon l'dorom. The Amri, the Omar, Rav Chama, Rav Chaninom, Rav Yitzchak Kol, Hanosein, Mitoso bein Tzafon l'dorom, Havin le'bonim zcharim. This is the way you can be zoche to have boys, if you're in the mood for boys. Shenemar, the Pasuk in Tehillim, Utzfuncha, Temale bitnam, Yisba'u bonim. Utzfunecha, Utzfuncha, is a person, Miloshin Tzafon, that sets his bed up between the north and the south. Yisbu Bonim means that he will be blessed with male children. Rav Nachman bar Yitzchak Omar, Af Ein Ishto Ma'peles Nefolim. Another reward that's granted to a person who sleeps in his bed between north and south is that his wife will not give birth, will not have miscarriages. Ksiv Hacha, how do we derive this? Because here it says, Utsfuncha Tamale Bitnam, Uksiv Hasam, and it also says with regard to the birth of Rivka, Vayamalu Yomel Loledes Vehine Somim Bibitna, that when Rivka was pregnant, it was time for her to give birth to twins. And in both cases, Utsfunecha Tamale Bitnam and the Pasuk by Rivka, the Lashon of Milui is used. And therefore we can equate the two, and just like Rivka had a full milui of Yimei Hiryona, meaning of her pregnancy, and she didn't have any miscarriages, so too a person who sets up his bed between north and south will have his wife will be Zocha to fill up all the days of her pregnancy without having any miscarriage, chas v'shalom. Tanya, we learned in the Braisa, Abba Bin Yomin Omer, Shnayim Shenichnasu Lispalel, two people come into a synagogue to pray, V'kodem Echem Mehem Lispalel, one gets there first, and he finishes his tefillah, V'lo Himtin Es Chavero, and he leaves the Beis HaKnesses before his friend finished his tefillah. That's not a good thing. Is Tarfin Lo, Tfiloso befanov. HaKadosh Baruch is not going to be mekabel his tefillah. And how do we know this? Shenemar toreif nafsho biapo halamancha teozev oretz. A pasuk in Iyov,
And we dash in the pasuk as referring to a person who leaves his friend alone in a Beis HaKnesses. And the pasuk says about him that he caused for himself tiruf es nafshecha bifanecha, litrof es nafshecha lifanecha, toref nafsho biapo. There is an element here of mida kenegin mida, insofar as when he leaves his friend alone in the Beis HaKnesses, his friend is really disturbed, he's worried, and he won't be able to concentrate on his tefillah. So the mida kenegin mida is that he himself, who left his friend alone and disturbs his friend's concentration in tefillah, his tefillah itself will not be accepted, it will be rejected. That's a kind of a mida kenegin mida. Now, we had mentioned that Rashi's shita in the case of Avi Binyamin was to prohibit tefillah before davening. And Tosis rejects this. We never found anything objectionable to learning Torah before davening. And therefore they reinterpret Avi Binyamin as referring only to Malacha. The Rush tries to defend Rashi and says it really depends where he's praying and where he's studying. If he's praying in the place where he's going to, if he's studying in the place where he's praying, then he's going to obviously be able to daven after he finishes his studies. But let's say he prays in place X. Let's say he has his own base medrash where he prays, and if he has to go to a synagogue later on, if he starts learning in his study, and he may get so fatumled, so fatifed in his learning that he'll forget to daven on time. And Rabbi Yonah says that Rashi only applies to a person who's studying alone. And in such a case, why not just daven first and then study Torah? But if you're a teacher of Torah and others depend upon you, so you don't delay your teaching of Torah simply for the sake of prayer, and you're allowed to teach Torah even according to Rashi before you pray. Rav Nachman Bar Yitzchak Omar, a person, yes, that we saw, Tanya Abba Binyan Omer, Shnaim Shenichnesu Fine, he left him Befine, Shenemar, Toref, Nafsho, Biapo, Halamancha, Teozev, Oretz. This pasuk in Eov is translated into English as he who tears away, he tears himself apart in his anger. Do you think that the world will be abandoned for your sake? And this is the pasuk from which Abishol derives the conclusion that if he leaves his friend in the Beis HaKnesses, then he's going to cause for himself, which is called Toref Nafsho Biapo Lemancha, that there will be a Toref Es Nafsho, Toref Es Tfiloso, which means that God will not accept his prayers, they'll be rejected. V'lo od, and furthermore, Adam el Adam Gorem Lishchina Shetistalik. This person who leaves the Beis Knesses and he leaves his friend behind davening in the Beis Knesses alone is really causing Siluk Shchina. How do we know this? Shenemar, back in that pasuk in Eov, it says, V'yetak Tzur Mimkomo. The rock will be dislodged from his place. The Ein Tzur El HaKadosh Baruch Hu Shenemar Tzur Yelodcha Teshi, quoting a pasuk at the end of Chumash, which says that you ignored the rock who gave birth to you. We understand that Tzur is a reference, an allusion to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And now it says, Yetak Tzur Mimkomo, which means that he undermines, he dislodges the Tzur, meaning HaKadosh Baruch Hu, from his place, and he's Gorim L'Siluk Shechina. Now, how do we know that this last pasuk is a reference to someone who leaves his friend alone in the Beis HaKnesses davening? And the answer is, this is derived from Te'ozev Eretz. And those words, Te'ozev, mean you abandoned, is you abandon him to be alone in the base HaKnesses. Fine. Now the Gemara wants to know the flip side. Let's say you wait patiently for your friend and you linger in the Beis HaKnesset, so he doesn't have to be alone. In Himtinlo Mascharo, he will certainly be rewarded for this. On the top of the Vav and Aleph, Amar Rab Yossi, Rab Chanina, Zocha LeBrachos HaLolu. These are the brachos that are delineated by Yeshaya HaNovi in Perek Memches, Shenemar, Lu Hikshavta LeMitzvosai, which means that if you would only listen to my mitzvos and follow my commandments, then Vayehi kanahar shlomecha v'tzikoscha kegali ayom Vayehi kechol zarecha v'tzetzoy meyemecha, which means that your peace will flow like a river, your righteousness like the waves of the sea, and your children will be as abundant as the sand. And this is all because of Hikshavta. And the word Hikshavta indicates here that you have waited for your friend. And the end of that pasuk, which is not quoted here in the text of the Gemara as we have it, is Lo yikares v'lo yishamer shmo milafanai. And we're going to darshan that the word Hikshavta means Himtanta, that you waited for him, L'mitzvosai, meaning so that he can fulfill his mitzvahs, and that you could fulfill the mitzvah of Hashem to be Gomel Chesed. And if you're Gomel Chesed with your friend, because you wait for him, then you'll merit all these beautiful brachos. We got up to the two dots on the top of Daf Vav and Aleph. Mitzvah Hashem, we'll continue tomorrow.